And peace from God, who is more generous than we could ever imagine. We take it so much for granted. All grace and peace be to Him and glory alone. Please rise. I read again these words from today's appointed gospel lesson, where Jesus says, "There was a rich man who had a manager who was dishonest, and charges were brought to him that the man was wasting his possessions." And later on, the rich man commended the dishonest manager. This is our text. In Jesus' name. This gospel lesson today is a very difficult text, and I would suspect many will not be preaching on it today. For not only does it bring up a very sensitive issue that angers people, and that is the whole issue of money and how you spend your money. Most people don't like their church to talk about it too much. And when I get new members, they'll often tell me, all our minister ever did was talked about money all the time. And that's what happens on TV, of course, too. The other problem with this text is that, did you catch it? Jesus seems to be commending dishonesty. For here's a dishonest manager who exploits his owner's property, and the owner commends him for. This is incredible. What is going on here? As we look at this text, we should note at the outset that Jesus here is not talking to unbelievers and pagans. He's addressing this to his disciples. First verse, Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man wasting his master's possessions. In other words, this text is spoken not to those outside the church, it's spoken to you. And to me, you are disciples. Jesus said, make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. If you are baptized, if you have been taught the gospel, then you are a disciple, and you are the audience, the listener to this story here today about the dishonest manager, which raises the issue, how are you managing the resources God has given you? Like the manager in the story, I'm afraid that most of us, even those of us who are Christians, often mismanage what God has given us. Did you know how the man, it says, the dishonest manager, was wasting the master's possessions? The man was wasting his possessions. The possessions did not belong to the dishonest manager. He apparently thought they did, and so he managed them to his benefit. They belong to the owner. So what do we learn from that? It's obvious. Nothing you have really belongs to you. Do I need to repeat that? Nothing you have, nothing really belongs to you. Listen to St. Paul. What do you have that you did not receive? If you received it, why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? It's not yours. It belongs to God. You are merely a manager. The old word, a steward of it. How are you managing the resources God gave you? Whether it's money, your abilities, your talents, your time. We have learned in the little catechism, at least those of us who memorize it, to say these words from Martin Luther. I believe that God has given me my body, soul, clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home, spouse, children, land, animals, all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all I need to support this body and life. Now, yes, he works behind his masks to do it. By the way, in the Bible, he pulled the curtain back every now and then and worked directly to feed people or clothe them or heal them. We call those miracles. That is not the normal way God works. Usually he works behind a mask. It is our faith that tells us that God is still at work, giving us everything we have. We affirm this every day in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? When we pray that petition, give us our daily bread. In the Small Catechism, Luther asks what is meant by daily bread. Then he answers with this long list, which I hated when I was a kid. It was too much to memorize. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body. I wish he'd have stopped right there. I tell my catechumens, you can pause right there. He goes on, though. Such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, devout husband or wife, devout children, devout rulers, devout faithful workers, good government. I got to take a breath here. good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and so forth. Why didn't he just say that at the beginning, so forth, etc.? Well, I think he's trying to make it quite clear, if it isn't clear, that everything you have, everything you enjoy, is God's, lent to you for a certain time in your life. And by the way, this is even true of the ungodly. They don't know it, but we know it. Martin Luther adds that God gives daily bread. I'm going to reread that whole list again. But God gives daily bread even to all evil people without their praying. What's the difference between them and us? Not that they get more or we get more. That's silly. The difference is we know where things are coming from. That's why we pray. Not as though if we forget to pray that somehow we won't get blessings anymore. God is more generous than our praying is. But we pray in order to acknowledge to ourselves and people around us, we know where stuff is coming from. Do you? That's why, by the way, the offering we'll take up in a few moments is part of the divine service. We do not send out bills to the members. This is not a collection. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving to show that you know where stuff's coming from and you appreciate it. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but in the ancient church, the offering came in the second half of the church service. After the sermon, the pastor or priest would excuse everybody. Ite missa est. It's mass time, dismissal time, go. And anybody who was a guest, not confirmed, under church discipline, a catechumen, was sent out of the building. The doors were closed, hence it was called closed communion. And then what did they do in that second half of the service? Well, they recited the creed. You don't have the unbelievers recite the creed, that's silly. They prayed the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. That's not a public prayer, that belongs to us. They celebrated the Holy Sacrament. That is not a public meal, it's for those who have been baptized and instructed. And they took up the offering. Because you see, the offering was a sign of confession of faith. And I mentioned to the elders years ago when I came the first year, John, I don't know if you were on the church council, you may not remember this, but I remember telling the church council and elders, I think we'll try that at St. John's. I'll tell everybody who's not a good confirmed member, please ignore the offering plate, it's not for you. That did not go over so well. Did you get that? So the question comes back again, how are you using the gifts God has given you? St. Paul again reminds us, what do you have that you did not receive? Or St. Peter puts it, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, not yourself, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices please God. Like the dishonest man in Jesus' story, I'm afraid that many of us spend our time embezzling God's gifts and using them very selfishly, only to spend them on our own personal needs. That's what the people were doing back in the days of Amos, using the gifts of God to exploit people around them. The wealthy believed that the wealth they had was theirs, and therefore they put down the poor around them, or as Amos puts it, hear this, you who are trampling on the needy and bringing the poor of the land to an end. And it's the fact that the wealthier we get, sometimes we don't even notice the poor around us. We tend to exploit them and take advantage of them. We often think only of ourselves and how we might spend more on satisfying our own personal needs. Jesus warns us today, and again, he's not talking to the ungodly outside the church. He's talking to people like me and you. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'm afraid we try to do it, but his word rings out loud and clear. You can't do it. Permit me to read a paragraph out of Luther's large catechism. He comments on the first commandment. It says, there are some people who think they have God and everything they need when they have lots of money and property. Boy, that's true today too, isn't it? This is what they rely on. They brag about it. And they are so pig-headed and sure of themselves, they couldn't care less about anybody else in the world. Mind you, they have a God. His name is Mammon. That is money and property. They set their heart on it. It's the most common idol on the earth. Those people who have money and property feel secure and free and easy, as though we're sitting right in the middle of heaven itself. On the other hand, those who have nothing are full of doubts and despair and depression, as if they never even heard about God. And then he concludes, you won't find many people at all who are happy and in good spirits or don't complain when they don't have enough mammon. This love of money clings and sticks to us right to the grave. Is it sticking to you like glue? The rich owner calls in his dishonest manager one day, and he says, what is this I'm hearing about you? You've been mismanaging my accounts. Turn in your management. You can no longer be a manager. Oh, this fellow had a problem now. He knew he couldn't take care of himself. He says, I'm not strong enough to dig. He says, I'm ashamed to beg. What should I do? Oh, hey, I've got an idea, he says. So he calls in the debtors, and he says to one, how much do you owe my master? 100 bushels of oil or barrels of wheat, whatever the case may be. He says, cut it in half. And another guy, how much do you owe? Well, cut it down to 80. Now, what's the point? What was he thinking? Was he trying to cheat his master even more? Now, that can't be the answer, because later on, the master actually commends the dishonest manager for his shrewdness and his thoughtfulness. So apparently the man was doing something good. How so? Well, you know, a clue to this text, a very important clue, is the fact that this story only occurs in St. Luke's Gospel. It only occurs in St. Luke's Gospel. Now, why is that significant? Because the man standing behind St. Luke is the Apostle Paul. And what was his big concern? It was justification. That is, how do you earn a not guilty verdict? How do you earn security before God? Is it by your works, your money, your intelligence, or is it by your union with Jesus alone? You know the answer to that. In his letter to Rome, Paul writes, by works of law, no human being can ever be declared innocent in God's sight like the Pharisees. And Paul had been one once himself. They loved money, our text ends, and they were ridiculing Jesus because they wanted to justify themselves before man. In other words, they were giving the impression that they must be favored by God because they had so much wealth and so much prestige, and that's how it works. And if you want to be favored by God, you got to make a lot of money. You got to be powerful. You got to have lots of stuff. There's the problem with mammon. We start to depend on money, property, education, skills, whatever, for our security rather than on God and His grace and mercy. That's dangerous enough in this life. It's even far more dangerous if you think you can get into eternity in paradise because you were wealthy, smart, educated, or powerful. Seek where you may, we sang, to find a way that leads to your salvation. That way will never be found in your money, your education, how smart you are, how popular or powerful you are. There's only one in whom you find salvation, and that is our Lord Jesus. As that hymn goes on to say, seek Him alone who did atone, who did your soul deliver. That's Jesus. We're justified, declared not guilty, because He died, the guilty one being guiltless. Or as Paul puts it today, Christ Jesus gave Himself as a ransom payment for all. I don't care who you are, what you've done, Jesus has paid your debt. You don't pay your own. The dishonest manager was not trying to earn his master's favor or to be justified by his good works. He was actually counting on his master's mercy. It was his mercy that the manager counted on that would retain his position. You know, like the bad manager who knew he couldn't take care of himself. You know, I'm too lazy to dig and I'm too ashamed to beg. We're not much different. We know that we do not have the strength, ability to earn anything from God. And a key in this text is when he tells the people who owed his master's stuff, quickly, cut your bill. Quickly. There's a key word, quickly. What's the point of that word, quickly? He did not want the debtors to find out that he'd been fired before he gave them a break, because he wanted the credit not to go to himself but to the master. And that's why the master commends him and says, you've acted shrewdly. You saved my reputation in front of my debtors. and you put aside your own needs for my sake. And he commends him for his thoughtfulness. The dishonest manager could do that because he knew that his master was merciful, and that's what we know about our Lord too. It was God's mercy which caused him to send his Son into our world to assume our debt. As St. Paul writes today, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for everybody. For God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it is God's mercy. It is God's mercy for Jesus' sake that continues to pour out his blessings on us day after day, month after month, hour after hour, unworthy and undeserving though we are and may be. This honest manager counted on his master's mercy, and he was right. We read in this text that the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, his thoughtfulness, because now the master was viewed by all the debtors as being a very merciful man. He cut everybody's debts down. And the manager did it and gave credit to his owner. Are you so shrewd, so thoughtful, so concerned about your Lord's reputation and his honor and his favor? You show that, you know, by how you spend your time, your wealth, your money, your knowledge. For Jesus' sake, God gives us time to manage the wealth and gifts he gives us. He gives us one more day, one more month, one more year, one more opportunity to repent of the way that we have often mismanaged the blessings he has given us. And there isn't one of us in this room that have not been blessed in many ways by a gracious Lord. And I say this over and over again. If you don't believe that, go to India. Go to Sri Lanka. Go to China. There you will see genuine poverty. He wants us to repent of our selfishness, our cold hearts. As one of our hymns puts it, O Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price. Melt our thankless hearts of stone till our cold and selfish natures, worn by you at length, might believe that more happy and more blessed it is to give than to receive. Do you believe that? Are there any opportunities in your life to share the resources God has given you, to manage the gifts God has given you more shrewdly so that God gets the glory and his kingdom grows? We beg for Sunday school teachers. Oh, but you're too busy, perhaps, to do that. Or how about singing in the choir? Oh, my voice isn't that great. Let someone else do it. Or how about serving on a board? Maybe our board of deacons, you men. Or one of our other boards, education, whatever the case may be. How about your resources financially? We look in the bulletin every Sunday. We're always overdrawn. This is ridiculous. This is Maple Grove. We're not living in Sri Lanka here. We should never be overdrawn. We should be able to expand our ministry and reach out in our communities. Could it be that some of us, including myself, maybe need to reevaluate how we are using the resources God gives us? And by the way, some of you are very generous. I understand that. But I think all of us can sit back and look at what we are doing. Can we do a little bit more for the kingdom? Not to earn anything from God. He's done it all already. He's generous whether we give anything or not. It's as a confession of our faith and our love for this merciful God. St. Luke concludes this text by telling us that the Pharisees ridiculed Jesus because they were lovers of money. Let us pray our gracious Lord that he might, as one of our colleagues puts it, keep us from all covetous desires and the inordinate love of riches. And learn from Jesus to give generously to ourselves and our resources as he will give himself so generous to us today. Not just a piece of bread and wine, but he will give us his own true body and his own true blood hidden in the bread and the wine as he was once hidden in the flesh of that baby Jesus. And he will feed you with his body and blood to assure you that heaven is yours. Everything he has is yours. He has called you by name in baptism. Can that not warm your heart a little bit so that you might sing the words of our closing hymn? This is an old hymn. We used to sing it a lot. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus as stewards true receive, and gladly, as thou blessest us, to thee our last fruits give. I don't think it goes like that. To thee our first fruits give. God grant us such love for our generous Lord, and make us generous too. As we will sing in a moment, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and praise and thank him. Would you join me as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed? Please rise. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and all others according to their needs. For the people of God, that we might not misuse the gifts that God has entrusted to the church, nor be captivated by worldly wealth, but that we would use his gifts, matching his generosity toward us and toward all, and for the good of all, as he has first given us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For repentant hearts and the joy that for Jesus' sake the Lord remembers our sinful deeds no more, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For zeal and understanding to tell of the eternal promises of God to a world that has forgotten or rejected them, bless especially Redeemer Lutheran Church in Robbinsdale during their vacancy time and Reverend Dan Matuszewski as he serves them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.